dollar sign DJT, aka Donald J. Trump token, that was allegedly started by Barron Trump with endorsement from the Donald himself or not. Is this real or is this a fabrication from one of the internet's most hated persons, Martin Shkreli? Zach XBT makes an appearance in the story.
Bankless Nation, it is the third week of June, and it is time for your Bankless Weekly Roll-Up. We got a few things to cover today.
We got a lot of things to cover. It is a big week.
All right, first on the list, the SEC dropped all charges against Ethereum. Remember they had these charges against Ethereum? They were actually going after the core devs in this consensus lawsuit. Well, that is no longer. They have written to consensus that they are dropping their charges against Ethereum. So the question is Ethereum officially recognized as a commodity? I thought the ETH ETF would make it so, but maybe this is further evidence of
just
this. What else we got?
One more nail in the coffin. And speaking of ETH, we are getting even more hints about when the ETH ETF will be trading. Hint, it is very soon, so hold your breath. But before then, we also have airdrops. So airdrop season is fully on. Layer Zero dropped their token this week. ZK Sync token is now trading. There's some other airdrops coming as well. And so we're going to talk to you all about the tokenomics, what's going on, the sentiment reaction, and how these things are being priced in the markets and where they comp to with some other projects out on the market today. And then, of course, Ryan, I'm sure you're going to love this one. Do you know what's going on with the whole Donald Trump token? Have you been?
No. Yeah. And should I care? Yeah, is the question. This is my most hated agenda item. Like, so, David, you've done all the research.
I have done the
Thank
research.
You for going into
all
the gutter.
Fucking morning.
And discovering what's up with the Donald J. Trump token and how is the farmer bro, Martin Shkreli, related to all of this? Burning questions in my mind.
Everything that Ryan wants to know. Before we get there, a moment to talk about our friends and sponsors over at Stakewise Protocol, offering universal access to liquid staking, including for all of you solo stakers out there. So for all of you solo stakers who have been atlasing Ethereum, putting Ethereum on your back and not being able to achieve liquidity, well, you can continue to solo stake. You can continue to tend to your validator while also getting OS ETH, that is the Stakewise liquid staking token, to enjoy liquidity, playing around on DeFi and Eigenlayer and doing whatever you want to do with your liquid ETH while also being a solar staker. There are also other things as well. There are vaults out there for people who want to just deposit their ETH and have MEV strategies, flexible fee structures, auto compounding, some other cool gadgets, really just making just the world of staking in Ethereum pretty enjoyable. If you're curious about any of this stuff, there is a link in the show notes to get started with Stakewise.
Yeah, very bullish on Stakewise and their efforts to further decentralize our stake. Well, let's talk markets today. And we got to start with King Bitcoin on the Kraken charts. Am I seeing up or down?
You are seeing down. Down 3% on the week. $66,800 is where we started. $65,000 is where we ended. Some negative flows in the Bitcoin ETFs this week. We've definitely had some good weeks in the, like 2 weeks ago. We've had some marginally bad outflows this week. Bitcoin price being correlated with outflows as well. Bitcoin, however, like down 3%. If most people's portfolio was only down 3% this week, they're probably like pretty happy because the rest of the market got absolutely obliterated. ETH did pretty good, actually. ETH is one of the outperformers in the market this week. Like if you were in altcoins, like rip to you.
Really?
Yeah.
Even the meme coins, David?
Meme coins especially. Meme coins especially got obliterated this week. Some takes as to why. Bitcoin is just rising in correlation with the SPY. SPY is just absolutely gigascending right now, up just a whopping 1.5% this week. And remember, that's 1.5% of the world's largest capital market. So it actually does mean a lot of money. But just like new all-time highs in the equities
market.
Look at
this chart, man.
It's pretty insane.
This is the S&P 500 ETF, okay? The most boring ETF that exists. It's got to be, right? Well, this is probably some bond ETFs, but this is the most boring equities ETF you can own. And this looks like a meme coin itself here.
It looks like an up-only meme coin.
Now, like, I'm scrolling out all the way to like 1993, but that is a beautiful ascent all the way to all-time highs for the S&P.
Yeah.
It's are you getting jealous?
It makes a crypto person jealous. But also at the same time, I mean, we all know that the S&P is just an index of money issuance, which crypto also is. When you zoom out to like 1990s, basically every chart looks good except for gold. Gold looks flat.
Gold looks flat, sadly.
Yeah.
Well, how does MicroStrategy factor into this? Because you were talking about Bitcoin outflows, and that's on the Bitcoin ETF.
Right.
But Michael Saylor never outflows.
No.
He's always inflowing.
Only inflows,
and
yep.
This is a tweet that says, MicroStrategy has acquired an additional 12,000 Bitcoin.
Casual.
a casual $786 million using proceeds from convertible notes, those sweet bonds, and excess cash. So taking that fiat on some bond leverage real cheap and going and buying Bitcoin, and Michael Saylor's continuing to dollar cost average in. Does that help at all?
That definitely helps. Yeah. $786 million of buying pressure definitely helps bolster up Bitcoin. Anyone's meme coin bags do not have that same level of support that Bitcoin has. How does MicroStrategy still have like the tolerance to be able to do this? Like, why is there so much slack in the MSTR equity price that Michael Saylor can continue to print MSTR, sell that for Bitcoin, and have that pump the value of MSTR to the point where he can do it again? That was only supposed to work up until the point that Bitcoin ETFs were approved. Because why would anyone buy MSTR when there are Bitcoin ETFs? The fact that he can still be doing this,
because it's a levered
play, is insane.
David. It's a levered play. Yeah, you get the leverage, you get like potentially a little extra juice. Actually, there was a clip where Michael Saylor explained why MSTR is actually like in some small ways better. I can't recall all of the details here because it's just like I don't care that much, but it does have some advantages.
The market capitalization of MicroStrategy is at $25 billion.
Crazy, right?
So yeah, I guess that does make sense because he has so much debt because he has so much like Bitcoin. So he's taking debt.
I don't want to mess up the, like, somebody's probably listening to this and like, I know precisely what you're missing here, but there are some advantages with MicroStrategy for some types of investors in buying that versus a Bitcoin ETF. The big question is when is MicroStrategy, the stock, going to actually be present in this S&P? So I don't think it is yet. It's not part of the S&P 500, but it's getting real close in terms of size.
Right? Bitcoin doesn't have to go up that much more for like MicroStrategy to gain like a meaning. Like
They have to accept it, right? There's a formal gatekeeping process, I believe, to get in the S&P 500. I don't know who decides these things, actually. I'm not TradFi enough to understand that, but we could probably look that up, too.
MicroStrategy has $13 billion of Bitcoin on their balance sheet with a market cap of $26 billion. So half of their market cap comes from Bitcoin, and they also have a ton of debt. So if like Bitcoin doubled, which I expect it to, like not in the not distant future, like, yeah, that would make sense. That would turn into the current market cap of the actual stock price.
Yeah, that's what Saylor's betting on. It's like one thing I just want to zoom out on, because I've been thinking about personal finance, all the things that they don't teach you in school, because you know, like my oldest daughter, she's taking her first personal finance class in like high school, right? And so I'm just like, I don't know what they're going to teach there. And like, I was thinking about advice I'd give to her. You know what my first bit of advice is? Something I didn't figure out until my 20s. Early 20s, fortunately for me, but like something that the system didn't teach me is if you don't own assets, you will be poor. Like seriously, look at this chart. They don't teach you this in school. You look at like, okay, what's my job going to be? Like, oh, engineers make X amount of money in terms of salary. Like salary doesn't matter
matter.
Income doesn't matter. I mean, it matters a little bit.
Income is linear.
Only to the extent that you could take your excess income from things you don't spend it on and like take that delta in profit and buy assets. If you don't buy assets, you are not in the game. I'm talking about any asset. It just doesn't even have to be crypto. Okay. Like very bullish on crypto, but like property,
anything,
equities, stock, like not bonds, but like assets are the things you need to have.
Right.
And, income is a scam.
Assets. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like, it's kind of like, I don't know. When people hear this, they're like, but it's not fair. Okay, it's not fair. But like, it's the game.
Yeah, it's
these are the rules.
It's how you make it more fair. The more assets you have, more assets you own, the more fair it is for you.
Well, I don't think it's fair either, right? It's it's not great, but that's the system we live in. Anyway, tell me about ETH price, David.
First off, I love how you have your own tweet bookmarked. ETH price starting the week at 3,480 is for your daughter. It's for your family. Starting the week at $3,480, up 2%. On the week, ETH is up 2% on the week. Where we are, $3,530.
Why?
ETH was in just like the doghouse. It got down to $3,360 Doesn't want to stay there. ETH continues to get pummeled and then bounces back, like ready to go. It's like, oh, I'm getting slammed by the rest of the market, but I got an ETF soon, and it comes right back.
It's not what it should be, though. Look at this chart. It's stupid. When was the ETF announced?
We've already like retraced like 60% of the candle, ETF announcement candle.
I'm zooming out 30 days. Here's that God candle. Yeah. And I guess we're about there.
We're like approaching like back to, we're like halfway back.
Now we have dates, don't we? We have some estimated dates.
Very clear, specific estimated dates, which is July 2nd is the new date that Eric Balchunas and James Haver have moved their over-under date to. So 50% chances under, 50% chances over July 2nd. July 2nd.
For what?
The ETH ETF going live.
Products.
The S1 products. Being approved. Yeah.
Get some sweet inflows. Like Bitcoin has all those sweet inflows. Sweet, and then we can look at the inflows and the outflows on a weekly basis.
And then we get to start talking about how it's bearish because Grayscale has to actually still unload their ETH trust.
Oh yeah.
That's what they'll pivot to.
Whatever. I'm not bearish. You know, ETH's got some catch up to do. Mm-hmm. I think it's gonna make it. But here's the ratio. I guess are we up on the week?
We're
a little
up
bit?
On the week. 4.5% on the week.
Here, look it. I wanted to show you this. Ultrasound money update. Have you seen this chart?
Yeah.
Like ultrasound.money.
I can't believe Justin put this in here.
This is the flippening chart. It's not dumb.
I love talking about the flippening as much as the next guy, but this is the worst TA.
It's not TA.
It's definitely TA, dude.
No, it's just an extrapolated line. That's all it is. It self-adjusts. The horizon, it could happen that the horizon always, like the trend line
always self-adjusts.
Oh, I see. I'm pretty sure it's self-adjusts. Anyway, if you can't see if you're not watching on YouTube or Spotify video here, what we're looking at is a flippening chart for Bitcoin or for Ether flippening Bitcoin, how close we are.
Yeah.
And based on the trend line over the last 9 years and 294 days, the estimated date for that, if we just hit the trend line, is November 16th, 2026.
Yeah.
That's when we flip in Bitcoin. Unfortunately, that's the trend line.
So much of this trend line is defined by 2015 through 2017. If you actually just cut off those 3 years, the trend line is just like meaningfully different.
Yeah, I posted this on Twitter. And someone's like, "Yeah, it's been down only since 2017."
But 2017 was a weird time.
Yeah, that's a glass half empty take, I think, David. Because, Ethereum's doing things. It's you still believe in the flippening?
Yeah, 100%. All right, I've stopped holding my breath for it.
When it happens, it'll happen. We just can't force these things.
It'll happen in our lifetimes. If it doesn't, then you can't really come screaming to me. All right. Total crypto market cap, $2.495 trillion, under $2.5 trillion. Definitely down very bigly on the week because the long tail in the market this week got like kind of wrecked.
Altcoins
got wrecked. Anything
When you say altcoin, what are you talking about? Everything.
Anything below
Bitcoin, Ether?
Below Ether. Yeah. Uh-huh. So like Solana down 10% on the week. Dogecoin down 12%. Ton down 5%. Cardano down 10%. Avalanche down 13%. SHIB down 15%. Chainlink down 6%. Polkadot down 12%. Uniswap flat on the week. Near Protocol down 13%. Should I keep going or? How you feeling?
Nah, that's good. We got a flavor. I got the flavor.
Yeah.
Let's get a flavor of layer twos these days. And this is a layer two update brought to you by Mantle. We are not just off all-time highs in terms of total value locked. But one thing to highlight this week, I think, is blob space, David. So blobs are catching a bid. And they were essentially, I mean, you correct me. I don't monitor
these markets. They've been basically free other than very like acute instances.
I was going to say that. That's basically what I thought. But now they have branched
into
not free territory.
They're like firmly in not free territory for like the last like 3 days. There is a trend line on here somewhere. Yeah, right there. Average blob count per block. And that goes back to June 15th. So 4 days. Yep. That green line, we increase the price of blobs. Below that green line, we decrease the price of blobs. Being close to that green line is like, that's where things naturally converge to. We've been below that green line for a long time, but we are now poking ahead of.
It only costs money on Ethereum when there's contention, right? When you're above the green line, basically.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes. There can still be contention when the blob count is below the green line if it was recently above the green line. It's like a control theory mechanism, much like EIP-1559. Yeah, yeah. But we are starting to oscillate around the green line, which means that there is a market price.
So we got more blob space in March. Mm-hmm. Right before that, there was kind of contention for Ethereum DA, and then we got more blob space in March, and now it's June, the end of June, and we're already out of blob space? Is that what you're telling me?
We're filling blob space, yeah. So, like, all the layer twos are just slowly growing in more activity, incrementally growing in activity, so they are buying more blobs. In addition to that, more layer twos are coming online, and so, you know, multiply volume times capacity, and, like, you just get more space or get more demand. And then especially this week, is both ZK Sync has been consuming a lot of blob space to claim the ZK token, and then also ZRO, you can claim the token. And interestingly, because like layer zero is an Omnichain protocol, you can actually claim the ZRO token on any chain, which is kind of what their deal is. That's what they do. And so as a result of that, most people have been claiming on Arbitrum, I think. And so they've been like maxing out the TPS on Arbitrum. Actually, can you go to the layer 2B and look at the Arbitrum activity? I'd like to actually see that. But like, because you can be claiming like your layer zero tokens right now, like tons of people are consuming blob space. So like we're probably hitting like new all-time highs in layer 2 activity specifically because of the layer zero activity.
You want me to look at activity here?
Yeah. Yeah. Activity on the left side. It did move if you were like, what the fuck's going on? Yeah, look at that. 20x scaling factor. Woo! All right, baby, let's go. That's also because of the new layer 2 that's on the scene called Zai, which I've never heard of. But in addition to that, like base activity is at all-time highs. And I think if you scroll down, Arbitrum will be there too as well.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Liking that.
Arbitrum 1, yeah.
Can we talk about DEX? Let's talk about DEX. Okay, Dex, so I saw this. Headline, Base surpasses Binance Chain in terms of active DEX users. Binance Chain was kind of a juggernaut for trading last cycle.
It's been for a long time, yeah.
Has been for a while, right? I mean, that makes sense, like coming from the exchange, their exchange roots, and Base surpassed it. And the broader context here, though, we're looking at some charts. So we've got users, which Base just surpassed Binance and is now number two in terms of total DEX users, number two to actually Solana. So Solana is number one, and then Base number two now, and then Binance number three. Doesn't come close in terms of volume, though, which is kind of a difference. Anyway, what do you make of these charts? We're looking at DEX volume by different layer twos and Solana and Ethereum, and then also DEX users. What jumps out at you as we look at these charts?
That there is a discrepancy between volume and users. Users actually is like kind of dominated in growth by Solana, actually. That's like the biggest chunk of like unique users over the last year. And it's definitely seen like an unprecedented amount of growth. But then on volume, Ethereum layer one is like still by and far the leader, followed by Solana. You can kind of see like Solana meme coins when they really started like going around in March of 2024. Ethereum still has like by far the actual like the majority of volume, and that is also, by the way, the most Sybil resistant, because Ethereum layer one is like you got to pay fees, so there's not much like a lower percentage of volume per bot or bot volume there, simply because you have to pay a lot.
92% of Solana's DEX volume is meme coins right now, which is like it's just been a huge meme coin cycle. One other thing I want to talk to you about, David, because this is sort of cool. Flipping back to the ETF world, there are now 19 B4 filings. These are SEC filings for not just a Bitcoin ETF. That's already been approved, but not just an Ethereum ETF, but now a combo ETF where you get a little bit of Bitcoin, a little bit of ETH in the same ETF wrapper. I think it's a 70% Bitcoin, 29% ETH. Market cap rated. It's adjusted that way. And I listened to your episode with Matt Matthew from VanEck. Mm-hmm. I was out last week.
But
both he and Matt Hogan, they make a really compelling kind of like TradFi argument for why it makes sense not just to hold Bitcoin, but why it makes sense to hold Bitcoin and Ether if you are looking to maximize your Sharpe ratio and
return. Which is a boomer term.
Well, Sharpe ratio, I don't consider Sharpe ratio very much when I think about like investing, but like Sharpe ratio is sort of a measure of volatility. How much could the price move either up or down in a given year? And
it's
like,
presented to TradFi people as risk.
Yeah, risk. And
which is dumb and wrong, but fine.
I think it's dumb and wrong. I've never seen the world like that, but that's fine. For some people, like if they, you know, they get scared when something drops, you know, 20%. To me, that's like scary. that's called a Thursday, you know? Like, so but anyway, the point of this is if you even go with a 75% Bitcoin, 25% ETH combo inside of your portfolio, not only do you improve your Sharpe ratio, that actually gets better, but you also improve your returns. Mm. So from a portfolio diversification perspective, which appeals to a lot of like fund managers, active managers in TradFi, this is a way to like get more, squeeze the juice. This is like the value of diversification. You know how when people talk about diversification, this is what they're talking about. There is actual mathematical value.
Right.
If you care about Sharpe ratio and sort of
if you care about Sharpe
volatility
ratio,
adjusted returns, right?
So anyway, when I see this data, I'm like, okay, so according to their mathematical models, if you add Ether to a crypto portfolio in addition to Bitcoin, your returns likely, according to the models, go up. But also so does your Sharpe ratio. My head is like, if your returns go up because you add Ether, wouldn't your returns go up if you only had Ether? And it turns out the answer to that is yes, but your Sharpe ratio goes down, which is why they don't do it, because they're like, ooh, too much concentration.
Well, that's as an active manager myself, I'm just like, well, then I'd rather have Ether, you know, like just give just me 100% Ether.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's
concentrated
not how,
bets, baby.
No, that's not how sophisticated investors see these things. But cool stuff.
Investors.
Yeah, from a diversified portfolio perspective. Last thing to talk about in markets, airdrop season, it's in full swing. ZK Sync is claimable and tradable this week. So David, I want to hear about that. Also, Layer 0 ZRO token just debuted at a unicorn valuation. Got some other things going on in the Blast ecosystem, but those two at least, ZK Sync and ZRO, the Layer 0 token. What do we need to know?
Okay, introducing ZRO. That is the ticker symbol for Layer 0. 1.28 million wallets are eligible, which is absolutely massive. That might be the number one in terms of like total wallets. Okay, so total supply of ZRO is 1 billion. The 24% went to the community and builders. 8.5% is being distributed on day one. The rest will be coming up for in the future. And so in addition to that, if you are eligible to claim Layer 0, you also have to, this was like the weird quirk thing, you have to donate to Protocol Guild. So to claim your ZRO token, you must donate 10 cents in USDC, Tether, or native ETH per Layer 0 that you want to claim, which goes directly to the Protocol Guild, which is a guild.
10 cents or higher, right?
10 cents or higher per token. Yeah. And so how much is a Layer 0 token in this present moment?
$3.67.
Okay. So you got to donate 10 cents to the Protocol Guild. Protocol Guild, fantastic organization. They fund open source development. I'm not sure everyone enjoys being forced to pay money to claim their token.
So this is what the founder said. It's not like being forced necessarily. It's like, are you being forced to claim? No, you just don't claim. If you don't donate, you don't claim.
I don't know if the community is going to accept that one.
We'll get to that take at the end. I feel like the community is getting more and more entitled these days, but proceed.
Let's see. I talked about this earlier. You can claim this anywhere. You can claim this on Ethereum mainnet, on Optimism, on Arbitrum, Base, Polygon, BNB chain, Avalanche, any EVM chain. Kind of cool. And why can you do this? Well, that's literally what Layer 0 does. It is a messaging protocol across chains. You have until September 20th, 2024, layer0.foundation/claim. Please stay on the lookout for phishing. Don't click any links that you're not very sure about. This is also in Bankless Claimables if you just want us to do it for you, which is why we do it. That is Layer 0. Congrats to Brian Pellegrino, who's just worked through the absolute gamut of just like processing Sybil information. I'm pretty much looking forward to like the postmortem on just like the Layer 0, perhaps the most Sybil airdrop of all time, and then also had the most like complex and like rich anti-Sybil strategy as well.
Innovation there. Some innovation,
yeah,
I think.
Big time. So if you're in the Bankless Citizens Discord, there is a forum just to like, so I just spun up this morning to go chat about this. Would love to get your feedback. Want to know what you think if you're eligible. The cool thing about that Discord is that that's gated to paying bankless citizens that we know are humans. So we kind of know that there's no Sybils in there, kind of useful. And that brings us to ZK Sync, the ZK token. Like I said, we were processing this as an industry all of last week, all this information. ZK is now trading out on the market. Claiming is now live. So market cap, $740 million, a $4.2 billion fully diluted valuation. So with a total supply of 21 billion tokens, it's got a 17.6% float, which is like definitely way healthier than other like tokens that other like typically get introduced. 17.6%, like 17.6% is still like a long way off from like, you know, the majority. But typically we've been seeing tokens with
higher is better.
And so like, and that's a nice healthy float to have at the start. Almost 50% of the airdrop was claimed in the first two addresses, claimed by 225,000 addresses in the first 2 hours, overloading some of the RPC services. But otherwise, other than that, everything is fine. ZK Sync, they released a comment about the community's reaction. This was out last week, but since we didn't talk about it, Ryan, they said, "Our airdrop is unconventional and has its imperfections, but we are proud of the path we have chosen and believe that we have made reasonable trade-offs. We recognize that many people are upset, having received less than they expected. We spent several days and nights double-checking the data, but didn't identify any major issues. We recognize that communications weren't clear enough," and they set out a list of frequently asked questions. This was definitely one of the bigger conversations in the Bankless Discord. A lot of individuals just came in and dropped in their comments because I asked them to. Like, hey, what do you think about the ZK Sync token? People were like, I feel pretty good about it. Some people said, like, I was using ZK Sync Lite and Argent and I wasn't eligible. I noticed a common theme about that. Anyone who like kind of was satisfied kind of moved on from the conversation because, you know, why would they hang around? And then other people who had problems and grievances, they definitely like continued that conversation. There was overall, I think, like last week, there was a big conversation about like what do about the ZK Sync airdrop. And I think, like, you know, it's very hard, especially in our position where we are bombarded by messages, to like really discover truth. And so like still kind of like looking through the postmortem on that, but nonetheless, ZK Sync is like, we understand it wasn't perfect, but like we got pretty close to what we want and we're pretty satisfied with it. So we're moving on, and that's that.
My big question was like, what's going to happen in the aftermath? And this was super interesting. So 24 hours after the ZK airdrop became like claimable and tradable, 28% of people didn't sell any of their ZK, David, but 30% moved or sold some of their ZK from their wallet, and 40—that's just a portion—and 41% moved or sold all of it. Are you seeing these numbers? So 70% sold some portion, 40% sold all of it,
right?
The entire allotment. What do you make of that? What's your takeaway?
I'd like to compare this with other airdrops. I mean, the ZK Sync, they gave away 17.5% of their total supply, which is a lot. And so you would expect that market cap to fully diluted ratio setting in. You're seeing a lot of tokens with a lot of unlocks just getting hammered in price because people are bearish unlocks right now. And ZK Sync just had like the biggest day one unlock of all time. And so you would expect like a lot of selling pressure to come into the market. I'm happy to see a large amount of day one selling pressure because that means like it's a more investable asset the more that's unlocked.
I guess it's liquid, it's price discovery, that sort of thing. Yeah, but like exactly. Another interpretation of this 40% moving is like, yeah, how many of those are mercenary sort of like airdrop hunters or Sybil attackers that are just taking their money and selling?
I think by definition, if you sold it inside of the first week, you are by definition a mercenary. Which is fine. It's totally fine.
I guess it's fine. One other question I had is benchmark this. All right. So what'd you say? Mm-hmm. $4.1 billion FTV for ZK Sync, like that, over $4 billion. So how does this stack up compared to other layer twos? I was actually looking on CoinGecko, okay? Top 100 on CoinGecko, and I sorted by market cap. So this is not FTV, but market cap. David, ZK Sync didn't show up in the first 100. It's like, it was like 106 or something.
Yeah, 110 by market cap. Yeah, is what I saw. Yeah.
Okay, like $4 billion? $4 billion doesn't seem like a lot. For ZK Sync.
$4.2 billion is fully diluted, and it's not showing up on the top 100 of the market cap because it only has 17.5% of that on the market.
So benchmark that with other layer twos, and let's just do fully diluted.
Just fully diluted valuation. Okay, yep. So in order of highest to lowest, fully diluted valuation, we got Arbitrum coming in at number one, $8.1 billion. You have Optimism coming in at number two, which is at $8.05 billion. Kind of crazy that they're basically the same. followed by Polygon at $5.8 billion, followed by ZK Sync at $4.1 billion. And just because it went live this week, even though Layer 0 is not a Layer 2, it's a Layer 0, $3.7 billion. And so, like, all within, like, a decent range of each other.
Those are in decent range. I'm going to give you some other comps. BNB, $91 billion. Solana,
okay, BNB has
it
Binance buying and burning BNB tokens.
Toncoin, the Telegram
chain. Yeah,
Ton, $36 billion. Cardano, $17 billion.
Oh my
Avalanche,
God, Cardano.
$12 billion. Tron, freaking Tron, $10 billion.
Also has a buyback and burn model.
Polkadot, $8 billion.
Okay, that
I'm
one's
just
dumb.
Saying,
Bitcoin Cash, $8.2 billion. Bitcoin Cash is worth more than Optimism. What the F?
Layer 2s are not catching a bid right now.
Hey, Uniswap, $10 billion.
That's not that. Layer 2.
It's a good token. It's a cash flowing token.
It's a token that has, you know, like bankless fundamentals,
bankless
style
fundamentals, huh? Which are apparently extremely bearish.
Very bearish right now. And like, that's a larger question about this. So we've gone through some major airdrops, and the last few, including, you know, the ZK Sync one, has been met with some upset from the community.
So a social mess.
I saw somebody in Bankless Discord, this is a real human, just being like, you know what, I'm just exhausted airdrops, like in general, right? And I think that's true of like people who are doing things on chain and getting airdrops. I think it's true of founders too. Like,
oh my God,
right?
Yeah.
So this is a Kobe tweet. If you're a founder, in my opinion, you're probably thinking about not doing an airdrop at all these days. The downsides are much greater than the upsides now.
Yeah.
I do think that with Layer 0, ZK Sync, Eigenlayer, it's marking a different era of airdrops.
Yeah. We jumped the shark.
There's still going to be airdrops, so I think they will morph into a different form, and we'll have to see what that new form, the new meta, ends up being, because people are kind of tired at this point, both projects and like users.
Yeah, well, the Sybils are just crowding out the users, and then the users are like, I feel not heard.
Unheard, because they're drowned out, yeah.
Because they're drowned out. And so like when you real users get pushed out, like the meta is going to shift. This was the theme of that episode that we did like a couple months ago where we called this the cycle is cooked. That's the same thing. Just like we got to move on from this distribution method.
Yeah. Do we have to talk about mother and daddy?
Okay.
Do we?
You don't. I'm just going to burn through these things because it's the thing that everyone wants to hear about. The mother plus daddy update. If you don't know what daddy is, good for you. But I'm about to inform you. Sorry. Mother, of course, is the Iggy Azalea token who issued a meme coin on Solana and just started to grow a community around it. And honestly, like, didn't really do anything egregiously bad so far, so that's kind of nice. Currently, $80 million market cap off of its $150 million market cap peak. She's still active, mostly just sharing memes, kind of the deal. She appeared last week with Jim Cramer at the New York Stock Exchange.
When Mother ETF.
When Mother ETF. like $80 million, she hasn't like exit scammed, hasn't done anything egregiously wrong. So like not going to call it a complete grift. Daddy, which is our favorite, who's this guy again? Andrew Tate. Daddy Tate. Andrew Tate, the best human, the best leader, the best example of a human on earth. $64 million market cap off of its $90 million peak, newer coin. So that is the current state of celebrity meme coins.
This token is not affiliated with the Andrew Tate. Did you know that? It says this is a warning on CoinGecko.
I thought it was.
I don't even
Wasn't
know,
it?
Dude.
I thought that was the whole deal. Like, well, everyone knows to not come to bank.
Is this a different?
Do you have the wrong token? No. I think this is the one. Jesus.
Yeah, there's only one Daddy Tate.
Well, if you had any better indication as to like where you should get your meme coin information, it's not from us. But nonetheless, we're going to talk to you about $DJT, aka Donald J. Trump token, that was allegedly started by Barron Trump with endorsement from the Donald himself or not. Is this real or is this a fabrication from one of the internet's most hated persons? Martin Shkreli. Zach XBT makes an appearance in the story. So we're going to, Ryan's going to go grab his popcorn right during this commercial break. And then we'll be back. We're also going to talk about how Ethereum is now free and forever free of the SEC's investigation. But first, a moment to talk about some of these fantastic sponsors that make this show possible. Like Kraken. With all of the meme coins or the legitimate assets that you want, you can find them on Kraken. If you do not have an account with Kraken, consider clicking the links in the show notes, getting started with Kraken today. If you want a crypto trading experience backed by world-class security and award-winning support teams, then head over to Kraken, one of the longest-standing and most secure crypto platforms in the world. Kraken is on a journey to build a more accessible, inclusive, and fair financial system, making it simple and secure for everyone, everywhere, to trade crypto. Kraken's intuitive trading tools are designed to grow with you, empowering you to make your first or your 100th trade in just a few clicks. And there's an award-winning client support team available 24/7 to help you along the way, along with a whole range of educational guides, articles, and videos. With products and features like Kraken Pro and Kraken NFT Marketplace and a seamless app to bring it all together, it's really the perfect place to get your complete crypto experience. So check out the simple, secure, and powerful way for everyone to trade crypto, whether you're a complete beginner or a seasoned pro. Go to kraken.com/bankless to see what crypto can be. Not investment advice. Crypto trading involves risk of loss. Arbitrum is the leading Ethereum scaling solution that is home to hundreds of decentralized applications. Arbitrum's technology allows you to interact with Ethereum at scale with low fees and faster transactions. Arbitrum has the leading DeFi ecosystem, strong infrastructure options, flourishing NFTs, and is quickly becoming the Web3 gaming hub. Explore the ecosystem at portal.arbitrum.io. Are you looking to permissionlessly launch your own Arbitrum Orbit chain? Arbitrum Orbit allows anyone to utilize Arbitrum's secure scaling technology to build your own Orbit chain, giving you access to interoperable, customizable permissions with dedicated throughput. Whether you are a developer, an enterprise, or a user, Arbitrum Orbit lets you take your project to new heights. All of these technologies leverage the security and decentralization of Ethereum. Experience Web3 development the way it was always meant to be. Secure, fast, cheap, and friction-free. Visit arbitrum.io and get your journey started in one of the largest Ethereum communities. Are you worried about the security of your cross-chain transactions? Cross chains with confidence using Transporter, the revolutionary token bridging app designed to give you peace of mind. Powered by Chainlink CCIP, Transporter is your trusted gateway for securely moving assets like ETH, native USDC, and LINK, and so many more across some of your favorite blockchains. Over $2.8 billion has been hacked from token bridges to date. Transporter puts a stop to this by ensuring your transfers are protected by the most robust security features available. Chainlink CCIP provides level 5 security backed by multiple decentralized Oracle networks and an independent risk management network. Transporter also provides real-time tracking throughout your transaction with its newly engineered user experience, so you'll never have to second guess the safety or location of your assets ever again. And the best part? Transporter makes it simple. Whether you're a blockchain beginner or a seasoned trader, Transporter's intuitive interface lets you execute cross-chain transactions with just a few clicks. No additional fees, just a low cost for using CCIP, which can be paid in LINK or your blockchain's native gas token. But don't just take my word for it. See for yourself why Transporter offers a stress-free bridging experience. Experience the future of token bridging at transporter.io and just send it. All right, Ryan, you got your popcorn?
I got my popcorn, like literally.
Yep, all right. Ryan's going to just sit back and chill.
Is it story time?
It is story time.
My God, this is the first time I'm paying attention to this. So, cool. So what do we need to know about Donald J. Trump coin?
Okay, Donald J. Trump coin was issued a while ago, actually. It's currently got a $166 million market cap, which is like something's priced in. Something's priced in there. This all got started from a Pirate's Wire tweet. Started per conversations, Trump is launching an official token, $DJT on Solana, Baron spearheading. That was the whole entire tweet.
That's Mike Solana from Pirate Wire. You know,
oh, that's Mike Solana's thing?
We're having Mike on next week, actually.
Cool. Cool. That's perfect timing. Jesus.
Right?
Okay, so that's how it all started. Then just to recap all of this, I'm going to actually just go through this whole entire thing. Some headlines, not big mainstream headlines, but this is making some headlines in like B-tier media, trad media, like Newsweek. Like the headline here, is Baron Trump behind a mysterious new DJT coin? What we know.
Yeah. Look, we made it to Newsweek. Cool.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. Part of this, the first line of this Newsweek article says, convicted pharma bro Martin Shkreli has claimed a cryptocurrency partnership with Baron Trump, the youngest child of former U.S. President Donald Trump. Okay, so here's how all of this went down. Martin Shkreli has been on crypto Twitter. He's part of the crypto world, unfortunately.
Do people remember who he is? He's the guy that jacked up the insulin prices, right? Went to jail.
He's the guy that jacked up the insulin prices of Daraprim. Like by 5,000%, which became the most hated man on the internet, like hated by Reddit, got charged for securities fraud unrelated to the whole pharma thing.
Oh,
got charged for securities fraud. went to jail for like 21 months or something, had like $7.5 million of his assets seized, which included the One of One Wu-Tang Clan album, which was then auctioned off by the government by PleaserDAO, which is a separate story, which is also happening right now. That we actually talked about that last week. But that is aside from what's going on.
He's in my Twitter timeline. He's trying to get into like crypto Twitter circles.
Be relevant. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Maybe that's part of the story here. Anyway,
it's definitely a part of the story.
Go on.
Yeah.
I'm joining
Martin.
Popcorn.
Martin Shkreli is like causing a storm on Twitter saying, yes, this is real. I have proof. And everyone is like, WTF? Like, what? Why are you relevant
proof
here?
That Barron Trump issued a Donald J. Trump meme
coin. This is a Barron Trump issued meme coin.
Like Trump endorsed.
And it's
by
Trump
proxy,
endorsed.
Or maybe explicitly
yes, Trump endorsed.
Trump endorsed.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And so like people were spending like hours on Twitter spaces listening to Martin Shkreli like try to like prove that he could like link this to Barron Trump. And Barron Trump is like nowhere to be found. So like what's up with that?
He's never been in the public eye, right?
if podcast listeners are like, Ryan is legitimately eating popcorn. that's why what you hear in his mouth. He hasn't been. Yeah. I don't know. I haven't. He's not in my public eye.
Okay.
But yeah, he's on Twitter spaces claiming that he works with like up to 50 people, including to like work on this token, including 18-year-old Barron Trump. He's 18 years old. People. And so as a result of this, like DJT is pumping and like it rises up past $100 million. It's like pumping. People are like talking about it, trading it. It's like generating hype. And then there is an Arcam Intelligence Twitter account saying, fuck it, we ball. $150,000 to the first person who can definitively prove the identity of the creator of DJT. Because, like, we're not taking Martin Shkreli's word for it. Somebody do some on-chain forensic evidence to prove who was the creator. Not just a few hours later, Zach XBT tweeted out that he submitted evidence. And then Arcam Intelligence then later tweets out that the bounty has been solved by Zach XBT, who says that it is indeed Martin Shkreli, who is the person that minted, that created the DJT Trump token, the Trump token. Martin Shkreli did it.
Martin's been saying he did it the whole time, though, right?
Saying that he did it in collaboration and with the endorsement of Barron Trump, who did it with the endorsement of his daddy, Donald Trump.
Okay. Well, okay, I heard Martin had DMs or something, like evidence.
Yes. Okay. So this is where this goes. This is where this goes. Uh-huh. The link that Zach XBT found was that one of the earliest sellers of DJT, which sold $800,000 of this token, sent it to an address that held was a large holder of Martin's other project, Shoggoth, which is another AI project. So like a pretty direct link there. But then this is where Martin bites back. There's a phase two. We're not done yet. You would think that this would be over because this is proved. But no, like Martin, some people think Martin is actually like vindicated here. So there is a user, Cameron Rocks, a Discord user, whose alleged real name is Cameron Roxborough, that Martin Shkreli apparently hired as his intern, a summer intern kind of position, to do something in like Martin Shkreli's office or something. And this person apparently went to school with Barron Trump and talks about going to school with Barron Trump. Apparently, he's a longtime friend of Barron Trump. And I think this actually checks off. So Martin Shkreli paid this old school friend of Barron to be a part of his like campaign to get close to Barron Trump. So this is where like the conspiracies in. And Martin Shkreli was like apparently just kind of like social engineering his way to get to Barron Trump to like launch a Trump meme coin, because this is just like perfectly on brand for Martin Shkreli. This is like what he does. The guy like was
this got kid's charged a for 16 year old a yeah. 16 year old Bo Loudon to shill the token. That's what you're talking about. Is that
I don't know
intern?
Who Bao Loudon is, but there's like a friend of Barron Trump who like was the conduit between Martin Shkreli and Barron himself.
All right.
Yeah. So I think this is how this all ties together, because Martin Shkreli, we haven't gotten to the point where there's actually communications between Barron Trump and Martin Shkreli. We're about to get there. TBD on if they're real or not. They could be fake, but they could be real too. So here's how I think this all went down, just to really like summarize this. Barron Trump receives a message from Martin Shkreli because of this conduit that he has, like the friend that bridged the connection. And he was like, hey, dude, this is going to be super sick. If you like launch a meme coin, you should ask your dad. So Barron asks Daddy Donald, hey, dad, I'm thinking of launching a crypto coin. Is that OK? And like his Donald Trump is like, sure, whatever. Well, like not being sufficiently informed about like
Is your speculation.
This is my speculation.
Okay.
I have like, you know, friends and sources who are in the trenches who are more informed than me. So I'm like kind of like regurgitating what other people have said.
All right.
I've had this take corroborated by two people.
All right. But it is a little conspiracy. We'll never
completely know the truth.
But continue.
Barron Trump goes to Donald Trump, asks, "Hey, Daddy, can I?" I'm sure he says, "Daddy, can I launch a crypto coin?" And Donald's like, "Yeah, whatever, sure. I like crypto. I'm the crypto president." So Barron says, like, "Okay, it goes back to Martin Scorsese. He's like, "Okay, I've got the green light from my dad. Yeah. I can launch a crypto coin." And he names it DJT, Donald J. Trump.
Yeah.
And then it starts to blow up. And the Trump campaign and his lawyers is totally caught off guard about like what this actually means, because it's massive legal spotlight, like not what Donald Trump wants. Donald Trump has other legal issues going on. And they just totally shut this down. Like, "Barron, you can't do this. Basically, you're grounded. Like, go to your room." and then this is where we get this Watcher Guru tweet who says, "Donald Trump's former advisor says that the president and his son have not launched a meme coin." So like official statement out of the Trump administration saying like that
just
meme coin
morning,
is not
ours. Thursday morning that we're recording. That's when
that
this
is correct.
Was
that is
issued. Okay.
This morning, 8 a.m. Eastern time this morning. Yeah. Yeah. And so basically the Donald Trump like formally severed all association. But then this gets even crazier when GCR and Martin Shkreli, GCR like makes a bet saying like $100 million that this is not endorsed.
Who is GCR for people who don't know?
Like a crypto Twitter influencer trader type. Very well respected.
Influencer trader, like whale type.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Okay. He puts out a $100 million bet saying like, "I bet $100 million that this is completely fake." And Martin Shkreli is like, "I'll make that bet." And I think Martin Shkreli is taking that bet like on a technicality, because he did have a conversation with Barron Trump. He had like a Zoom call with him, and like Barron Trump was there. And so like he's saying like, "It's not completely fake. If you define it as completely fake, that's wrong. And so I'll take that bet." And so people start like tapping in. Kobe is like, "Kobe, do the escrow." And so this is where Martin Shkreli,
Kobe.
And this is where Martin Shkreli shares a screenshot with allegedly Barron Trump. I think this is on Instagram. These are Instagram like DMs.
Wait, this is Instagram?
Yes, this is Instagram. Yeah. This is Martin Shkreli kind of like goading on Barron Trump, saying, "You are the guy, not your dad. You're going to be bigger than him." And then he says, like, "Martin, hop on with us. Can you send a Google Meet link?" Also, I don't want that. I don't want to be bigger than my dad. But this is like Martin's proof that he was like talking to Barron Trump.
But this doesn't show Barron's name. Like
BT is in the left corner, which like maybe is him. Yeah, maybe it's him. It could not be him.
But could doctored. I mean, like there's all sorts of things.
It could be doctored. Yeah. Apparently there are people who were like in this call with him who have corroborated this story. And so like it's actually generally accepted that from the rumor mill in the trenches that like this was Barron Trump who did launch a meme coin.
Maybe
with
had a conversation.
Some social engineering with Martin Shkreli. And
oh
Martin, I think as soon as Martin Shkreli got Barron Trump to legitimately launch the token, he was like, "Let's fucking go. I did it." And then he like just throws Barron Trump by the wayside and he goes onto crypto Twitter and it's like, "It's the Donald Trump meme coin. Like it's totally legit. Like it was technically like launched by somebody in Donald Trump's circle." The Trump administration is like, "This isn't us. We're not endorsing this whatsoever. Have nothing
was,
to do with
like,
this."
Was Shkreli making money on this or something?
Well, yeah, because he has Zach XBT says that it was Martin Shkreli's address that launched a token. It means he has all the supply. And then you also have this screenshot, and there's a different screenshot that we're not showing where Barron Trump is asking Martin, like, "Yo, did we add like a trading fee? So like you could like make a 25% or 25 bips like fee for anyone who's trading." He asked like Martin Shkreli the details on that. I think Martin Shkreli launched it. I think he took like a Zoom call or a couple with Barron Trump to goad him on. He like socially engineered Barron maybe or something like this. It technically, if like there is a bet out there saying that there are $100 million that this was completely fake, in the definition of completely fake, it's not completely fake. Like Barron Trump was actually here.
How weird. But it's just Barron. It's not like official Donald
J. It's not official.
Trump.
It's not official. And like all the entire Trump campaign is like, "We are not endorsing this. It's not us." So if you're buying the DJT like token thinking that Trump is going to endorse this, you're wrong. You're basically just buying it because like it's in social zeitgeist. I actually think we kind of got lucky here, and maybe we actually don't get lucky, because this is like not a good look by the crypto industry, because A, fuck Martin Shkreli, but like representing the industry, he's going to like, he's the closest, one of the closest people to the Trump campaign, and like maybe got his son to like commit some sort of financial crime, something nefarious by launching and promoting a meme coin. Imagine you're the presidential candidate's dad, just found out that you launched a meme coin with his initials. Like, not great. And like, we have this pro crypto president who might have just gotten burned by fucking Martin Shkreli. Like, it's not what we want.
So you're saying it didn't go far enough for that to be like a big issue, but it could have gotten worse here.
If it does get any bigger, it's getting bigger like today and tomorrow.
Yeah. The other thing about like I wonder with Shkreli, I mean, he's already had securities violations. He's already served time in jail for like financial crimes. Yeah. Like, there's got to be some injunctions here. Like, there's got to be some prohibitions from him doing this sort of thing, I would think.
Yeah. I think Martin Shkreli just saw an opportunity to like sow chaos.
Yeah.
Grift a bunch of people and like take like clout for it, even though that clout is negative. Yeah. Like, he'll take all the negative clout any day.
Well, I'm done with my popcorn for now, David.
Cool.
So thanks for the story time. I would not have looked that up on my own because I just like didn't care enough, but it was entertaining. So thanks.
I'm glad you're entertained.
Thanks for that. You know, it was something cool this week though. That
you're gonna keep your sunglasses
exciting.
On the whole rest of the podcast?
Just until the break. How about that? Okay. Just until we get through this section.
All right.
Because this is a big deal. Sunglass worthy. Okay. Ethereum surviving the SEC. That is the headline from Consensus. Today, we're happy to announce a major win for Ethereum developers, tech providers, industry participants. The enforcement division of the SEC has notified us that it's closing its investigation into Ethereum 2.0. So Bankless listeners might remember it was like a month ago. Mm-hmm. We had Joe Lubin on the podcast, and Consensus had just announced that they had received a Wells notice from the SEC that described some of the allegations, one of which, like MetaMask wallet, all of these other things, but one of which was basically an investigation into Ethereum and whether, like, there was the allegation that possibly core devs were centrally controlling this, maybe Consensus employees, they were looking at GitHubs, they were looking at commits, they were looking at all of this detail. And Joe Lubin and the Consensus lawyer was pretty convinced that the SEC was coming after Ethereum, and it very much looked like it. Now, that was pre-Gensler, pre-SEC pivot, which it seemed like, if we're, again, doing some conspiracy theory type stuff, it seemed like there was a call made by the White House and the Biden re-election campaign that told Gary to chill the F out and to, like, to approve the Ethereum ETF and do a 180. And Ethereum ETF got approved. Of course, like, you guys were here, you remember that story. It seems like part of that fallout was a withdrawal by the SEC on this allegation against Consensus and Ethereum as a security. So do we have some comments from the Consensus lawyers here? This is Laura Brookover, who we didn't talk to, but what is she saying here?
She says, the SEC sent us a closing letter in the Ethereum 2.0 investigation today. Things have changed remarkably fast since we filed our lawsuit against the SEC in late April, accumulating in today's development. After more than a year, the Ethereum investigation is finally over with no charges against anyone. Full statement here, and then a link to the blog post. And I just really want to like lay down in like very simple terms what this means. There has always been this like looming, overhanging cloud over Ethereum. But like, is it a security? And a lot of that cloud got dissipated with the Ethereum ETF. And any remaining wisps of moisture in the air that might have potentially turned into a cloud is gone. There could not be any clearer skies. Like, it is an official thing by the SEC that they are no longer investigating Ethereum, the Ethereum project, the Ethereum network, the Ethereum core devs, Consensus. The whole idea that Ethereum might be labeled as security is in the grave. It is over, which has been a thing that has been like frustratingly relevant for my entire time in crypto. People are like, but Ethereum could be a security. I'm like, yeah, but let's, you know, like M&Ms could be a security, whatever. Like Beanie Babies. But like, finally, like, if anyone tells you that Ethereum is a security, you can tell them that they are dumb and wrong officially.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, here's another takeaway I think that hopefully crypto and everyone listening takes from this is Gary Gensler and the SEC tried their hardest to make ETH a security in the US.
For sure.
And the reason they failed was because the crypto community organized politically, and we pushed back.
Got loud.
And we got loud, and this is major progress because we weren't doing this sort of thing in 2022. It was all SBF was doing the political donations and playing the DC game. So it's bullish on another level that we have the power. I mean, it's 20% of Americans own crypto, American adults own crypto. We have the power to actually push back and make change. And here's an example of that. So cool lesson from that perspective, too. David,
in stark contrast, I love that this is happening at once. So we get the freedom of the SEC from the perjury of the SEC. But also what's going live, I think pretty damn soon here because the ETH ETFs is coming, is this awesome ad from Bitwise. So just like can't stop winning against the SEC. And we're getting these very sick, like normie targeting ads for the Ethereum ETF. Let's go ahead and watch this ad.
I actually haven't watched this, David. Let's...
Oh, wow. You're going to love it.
Hello, I'm Ethereum.
And I'm Big Finance.
You okay? You look really tired.
Just calling it a day.
But it's 4 p.m.
Yeah, and I've been working nonstop since 9:30 this morning, so...
9:30? You don't say.
Yep. You'd want a little shut-eye, too, if you've been moving billions around the world.
Well, actually, I do. You know, stablecoins, NFTs, loans. People can access me 24/7.
What?
But look, everyone's different. You should get your rest. You've had a long day.
Well, I have, haven't I?
Definitely. You'll get after it tomorrow.
Tomorrow's Saturday.
Monday. You'll get after it again on Monday.
Monday.
That is awesome. Nailed it. So good. So good. Bitwise had a very successful Bitcoin ETF, just like shoulder to shoulder with some of the big boys, Fidelity, BlackRock. I mean, BlackRock's dominant, Fidelity's large, but like Bitwise punching above its weight class with the Bitcoin ETF. I think they're making a very big push to take an even larger market share because Bitwise and Ethereum just go hand in hand. Like the business model for Bitwise, which is just like asset indices, crypto funds, and what Ethereum is just, I think they're making a very big push because they see Ethereum as like a much larger foot in the door that they have into the traditional world.
It's a way to tell the story. And like, because I mean, they've been bullish on DeFi assets as well, right? And just as the gateway to all of the other tokens and assets too. So well done on that commercial to Bitwise. And by the way, folks can mint that. So it looks like
I've only minted this.
800 people have minted it. I should still do that.
On
that
Base or on Zora? On Zora chain using my Coinbase wallet, which hopefully gets me an airdrop of something, either the Zora something. That's how I'm doing this.
You're hoping for maybe Zora airdrop. I could see
maybe
that
Zora
happening.
Airdrop. Yeah, but I also use the Coinbase wallet to mint on Base all the time too.
There you go. All right, we got more coming up, including a vulnerability in Kraken,
this was proof that the crypto industry is like dumber than ever. Not any fault of Kraken whatsoever. This like super lame security auditor, Certik. Sorry, we'll talk about this story.
Yeah, I can tell you're fired up about it. It's like, I have a question as whether these were white hats or black hats or what was
it. Could
going
have
on here.
Been white hats, but they chose not to be.
Also, there's more Donald Trump in this episode. Can you believe that?
Real news. Real
this
news.
This time's real news in a clip.
This time it's real.
All right, before we get to that, I'm going to take off these glasses here, David, and we're going to thank our sponsors, including Mantle, who is a layer two that you absolutely should check out. And
get some yield on that.
Yeah, get some yield.
New projects are coming online to the Mantle Layer 2 every single week. Why is this happening? Maybe it's because Mantle has been on the frontier of Layer 2 design architecture since it first started building Mantle DA, powered by technology from EigenDA. Maybe it's because users are coming onto the Mantle Layer 2 to capture some of the highest yields available in DeFi and to automatically receive the points and tokens being accrued by the $3 billion Mantle treasury in the Mantle reward station. Maybe it's because the Mantle team is one of the most helpful teams to build with, giving you grants, liquidity support, and venture partners to help bootstrap your Mantle application. Maybe it's all of these reasons all put together. So if you're a dev and you want to build on one of the best foundations in crypto, or you're a user looking to claim some ownership on Mantle's DeFi apps, click the link in the show notes to getting started with Mantle. Have you ever felt that the tools for developing decentralized applications are too restrictive and fail to leverage advancements from traditional software programming? There's a wide range of expressive building blocks beyond conventional smart contracts and Solidity development. Don't waste your time building the basics from scratch. And don't limit the potential of your vision. Cartesi provides powerful and scalable solutions for developers that supercharge app development. With a Cartesi virtual machine, you can run a full Linux OS and access decades of rich code libraries and open source tooling for building in Web3. And with Cartesi's unique rollup framework, you'll get real-world scaling and computation. No more competing for block space. So, if you're a developer looking to push the boundaries of what's possible in Web3, Cartesi is now offering up to $50,000 in grants. Head over to Cartesi's Grant application page to apply today. And if you're not a developer, those with staked CTSI can take part in the governance process and vote on whether or not a proposal should be funded. Make sure you're vote ready by staking your CTSI before the votes open. Celo is the mobile-first and EVM-compatible blockchain that's built for the real world and designed for fast, low-cost payments worldwide. Driving real-world use cases like Opera MiniPay, one of the fastest-growing Web3 wallets with over 2 million users across Africa. Celo is seeing a meteoric rise with over 375 million transactions and a million monthly active users. Not to mention Tether and Circle just deployed native USDT and USDC on Celo, supported by leading exchanges like Binance. And now, Celo is looking to come home to Ethereum as a layer two. With a game-changing proposal, core contributors at C Labs aims to leverage Optimism's OP stack, pioneering a transition as the biggest L1 to become a layer two, with testnet arriving as early as summer 2024. With the Celo layer two, gas fees will stay low and users can even pay for gas using ERC20 tokens, including native USDC and USDT, sending crypto to phone numbers across wallets using Social Connect. But Celo is a community-governed protocol. Make your voice heard in the Celo forum to shape the future of Ethereum. Follow at Celo on Twitter and explore the ecosystem built for the real world on celo.org/quest. And we're back. A Kraken exploit for $3 million and some drama. Okay, so ChatGPT summary of this. Kraken experiences security breach when Certik, a cybersecurity firm, exploited a vulnerability, allowing them to withdraw $3 million from the exchange. This incident led to a dispute with a Kraken accusing Certik of extortion and Certik claiming that they were conducting white hat security research. The funds have since been returned, but the incident has now raised questions about the ethics and legality of security research in the cryptocurrency space. I don't actually contest that line from ChatGPT, or actually maybe that was Grok, because I actually don't think the only question that has been raised is like, why the F is Certik doing what they're doing?
I actually have a couple questions. So the first question is like, how did this happen? How, like, what's the mechanism by which an exchange actually gets hacked for $3 million?
Right. So I'm sure there's a bunch of different ways where an exploit can happen. There's not just like one hole to breach. There's many that are all patched by all the exchanges. This particular exploit in Kraken, I think, had some mechanism where like people could trick Kraken to thinking that they deposited when they actually didn't. I don't know the details of how it works, but I think like it's fair to say, at least for illustrative purposes, imagine like you have the trick of like you attach a string, like a fishing wire, you glue it to a coin and you drop that coin in a vending machine and then you pull it back out and then just keep on dropping something like this. And so Kraken is crediting people on the other side without actually receiving the deposits. And so you can mint Kraken BTC, for example.
I got it.
Actually depositing real BTC.
They figured out Kraken's private keys. So it wasn't a huge deal. It was $3 million, but it was kind of that like coin trick that you maybe described, something like that. But the way that Certik handled this was absolutely ham-fisted and bizarre, right? Because it seemed like they almost stole the money.
What happened here? Okay, so first they exploited the exploit that I just described for $4. $4.
All right.
To prove that the exploit exists. And this activity would have been classified as white hat activity because this is what they needed to do to prove the exploit, right? And this is like white hat ethics. Like, don't actually steal money. Just prove into the minimum viable necessary that you need to do that you can steal it.
And then disclose it secretly and responsibly.
And then disclose it to Kraken, earn the bug bounty, which was going to be 6 to 7 figures, like $200,000 up to $1 million, something, a very large sum of money. And then they would just get off with the white hat money, which is like totally fair and square. We appreciate white hats. Anyone who should totally pay out white hat bug bounties. Very celebrated thing in all of security, really. But instead, what Certik instead did after they stole $4, which I wouldn't count as stealing, just doing bug bounty stuff, they then did that same exploit and then, you know, removed $3 million from Kraken, which is far beyond what anyone needs to do to prove that they are white hat like hacking. It's like now this is different. And then they went to Kraken and was like, pay us a larger bounty. And so like
a $3 million bounty,
like
maybe?
Pay us a $3 million bounty, perhaps, which is like verifiably insane thing to do. And then Kraken then starts to interpret this as no longer white hat activity. Instead, they choose to interpret it as theft and therefore criminal, like, and threatens to sue Certik.
This kind of feels like a ransom.
It kind of feels like a ransom.
This is one of the CTOs of Ledger, I believe, saying, exploiting a vulnerability and then returning some funds or negotiating a reward is not white hat behavior. Let's not pretend otherwise. Right. So a lot of people in the industry came down strongly against this, including Taylor Monahan. What did she say?
Oh, I would not want to be on the other side of Taylor Monahan. Taylor Monahan, now of MetaMask, formerly MyCrypto, definitely like a security expert in the space.
Not afraid to speak her mind.
Right. Basically, like, I'm just going to skip to the last line. You should hide in shame and be thanking Kraken for not pursuing you criminally and civilly, not bragging about your bullshit on Twitter. Part of the story is that, like, Certik just went onto Twitter and said, like, we've discovered a bug bounty in Kraken. Look, we, like, took $3 million from them. And everyone's like, did you just admit that, like, on Twitter? Why did you do that?
Do you have lawyers?
Yeah. Which brings us to the meme that summarizes this whole entire event, which is the classic Gru meme, which is step one, hack Kraken. Step two, steal $3 million and break sanctions. But, oh, part of the way, Ryan, that I didn't tell you the story, is that they put it through Tornado Cash on Polygon. Which, like, everyone's like, oh, like, you can't touch Polygon. But you know what I learned this week? That the Polygon Tornado Cash is not on the U.S. sanctions list. They did not add that.
Why? It's a different...
They forgot.
Okay. So it's still legal to use Tornado Cash on Polygon. So
it
that's
is,
why
no,
they
no,
used
no, no,
it.
No. It is not illegal to
it's
use
still
Tornado
Cash. Yeah,
it's
so it's not
it is still legal to
okay,
use because
okay, okay.
it's a
so
different contract address.
That's
why they did
Polygon.
So if you put it through
law.
Polygon to like obfuscate your traces,
all right.
That's the second Gru panel. The third Gru panel is publicly take credit, and then Gru is like looking back at like, oh wait, we publicly take credit, like rut-row. This is the same auditing firm that everyone has made a farce of because like all of their like audits keep getting exploited by North Korea.
Oh, geez, really?
Like, not a great track record from Certik.
Okay. Well, this is like someone got carried away, I would say, in their hacking.
Yes.
A little bit of ego at play, though.
Whoopsies.
But hopefully, they've been properly chastened by the social layer.
So they gave
Kraken.
The money back to Kraken, and they waved the white flag.
Yay!
Yay!
They could have just gotten the money, though.
They could have just gotten like a 6 to 7 figure bug bounty.
Yeah. And
but
Ben
instead
Heroes.
They are like going to lose business and now like I mean I don't know how they have any business left. Maybe that's why they have to do this.
Well, there you go. Let's talk about Donald J. Trump a second time.
Back to Donald J. Trump.
Yeah, not his token this time.
This is actually real. Trump has stated this last week that he explicitly wants all remaining Bitcoins to be mined in the United States.
Play it in his own words because right, man, this
cool,
is
here.
Here he goes.
To further secure America's future and create opportunity for young people, I will end Joe Biden's war on crypto, and we will ensure that the future of crypto and the future of Bitcoin will be made in America. We're going to keep it right here, and a lot of it's going to be done right here in Florida. Right?
It's so weird to hear cheers from that.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Wow. Yeah.
Bitcoin made in America. Bitcoin made in America. Just stamp it.
American mined Bitcoin. Let's fucking go.
But Joe Biden's war on crypto. Did you hear that? That's quite the soundbite.
That is quite the soundbite.
I wonder if Democrats are hearing that. I wonder if the Joe Biden campaign is hearing that loud and clear.
Yeah. Later posted on Truth Social, which is like Donald Trump's version of Twitter. He wants Bitcoin. This is where he said, I want Bitcoin to be made in the USA. It will help us be energy dominant, which is like big Bitcoiner talking points. So, you know, he's like winning every single like single issue Bitcoin voter, if not crypto voter.
Wow. Yeah. Well, crypto is definitely an election. I mean, people said it would happen. I kind of thought it would happen, but I didn't think it would happen in such a like big way. Yeah. It's happening now.
Super big way. Two new different types of real world assets being tokenized on chain. I want to talk about 3DNS, which is tokenizing Web2 ICANN domain names on Optimism. So pretty cool, like kind of self-explanatory. With 3DNS, they just register Web2 domains as NFTs on Optimism.
Which is so, that's like .coms. If you're not familiar .coms, ICANN, it's just like .coms, .nets, .orgs, .edus, all of that stuff.
Yeah, and so they're starting with .box and a few other ICANN domains, and then they're just going to expand from there. But they have this like pretty cool partnership with just the ICANN registry to like compliantly, legally, like in a partnership tokenize these ICANN domains into an NFT. So like trading an NFT is legitimate trading of ownership. Even though that's a digital asset, it's a real world.
It is
digital asset that is coming and being tokenized on Optimism.
We could tokenize bankless.com and sell it, David. Want to do that?
I don't want to sell it, but I do want to tokenize it.
Okay.
Well, because like MakerDAO might actually give us a loan on that, which is kind of cool.
Take our loan out and we get we get liquidated on that loan and there goes the website. Sorry, guys. Is that how it works?
No. Okay. On second thoughts, we will do something else. But in theory, we could. This is the future. And that's for the first of two real world assets being tokenized. Tether also has announced tethered assets, starting with this platform called Alloy. And they want to tokenize gold. We've actually seen tokenized gold before. It's not the first time, but it's definitely different when Tether does it. But you can also kind of just like understand that like Tether's not ending at gold. Maybe they tokenize further commodities. Maybe they just put a lot of commodities on chain. Extremely bullish.
Tokenized oil.
Like, I don't know, copper, uranium. Uranium on chain would be like kind of sick.
Wheat. You would buy some uranium on chain, would you?
Yeah, well, because like uranium is going to catch a bid because of like AI power demands.
I used to own some gold on chain. You remember Digix?
Digix. That was the one. Yeah. That was the one. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I was like, you know what? I'd rather own more ether than gold.
See, this is how I ended up capitulating on like owning Bitcoin. Because anytime I owned Bitcoin, I'd be like, but I could own more ether. And so I stopped buying Bitcoin because I would keep on losing it.
Yeah. You keep losing? You lost your Bitcoin?
To eat because I kept on selling it.
Like, oh,
it
was selling like, it. Oh, okay. Yeah. Like, I can't
hold on to my Bitcoin. It turns into ether all the time.
All right. I thought you were confessing the loss of some private keys. In which case, David, I got to get you off some multi-sigs there because that's worrying me. David, there's an event happening that you're going to that I won't be at, but that Bankless citizens are invited to at ETHCC next conference. What's happening here?
ETHCC is coming up starting Monday, July 8th for the second week of July for all of the people that are being in Brussels. It's typically in Paris every single year, but this year it's in Brussels because the Olympics is in Paris. And so when the Ethereum ETHCC community conference goes head to head with the Olympics, we lose. We don't win that one.
Yeah.
In one year.
Sadly.
But not this year. So we're in Brussels. So Monday, July 8th. From 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. Brussels time, CEEST time. If you're a Bankless citizen and you're going to ETHCC, you're invited to come get drinks with me, Rachel, Alex, Christy, Nick, the Bankless team, other podcast listeners, podcast guests, team members, sponsors. Just going to drink
Martin
a few cocktails.
Martin Shkreli
will not be there. If he does, he will not let him in.
You don't know that.
If he's a citizen, do I have to let him in?
Yeah.
No, I'll just cancel his citizenship. I'll just do that.
Wow. Revocable.
So definitely come. There is a link inside of the Bankless Discord. There's a link in the show notes. But you can only sign up if your email is a paid citizen, because that is how we do things. Can't invite everyone.
David, we got some unfinished business. So while I was out last week, I was informed that the results of the ETH pitch...
our beta use of... joke race.
Yeah. The ETH pitch, let's say. We both gave our best ETH pitches. Uh-huh. Yours was absolutely fantastic, I gotta say. Mm-hmm. And then I did mine, and then the Bankless community decided. And the stakes here were quite high because there's some rumor, I haven't seen it yet, because the minter of this NFT has been a little slow to mint it.
It's very busy.
Super busy with all sorts of other things. But that is going to be a trophy, a bragging rights trophy NFT, right?
That's right. Just to commemorate the successful beta run of Bankless using Jokers.
What I'm trying to say is the results are in, and I got this one, David. I got
just
this
by
one.
A little, just they, by a little bit. You barely got across the line.
Well, yeah, I won't share the results then. People can go click the joke race link and see what the results are.
Results are 72-13.
Well, you know what?
Okay, so just for context, like Ryan said, we engaged in a competition of who could give the best pitch for the ETH ETF. Then we had Bankless citizens vote on who gave the best pitch. So if you have an Ethereum address that has a POAP, Bankless POAP from 2022 or onwards, you are enabled to vote. We got 85 votes. Ryan won by a little bit. Good for him. It was cute. But this was this is just like us like learning how to use Joke Race and work with our community, because we're doing this again. This time it's different. So we're doing another vote for Bankless Citizens, but this time the thing being voted on is a podcast. This is first ever Bankless Listener, Bankless Citizen nominated podcast. So this one's a little bit different than the other two votes that we've done.
We will do the podcast, whatever wins.
We do the podcast. Yeah.
Oh,
so
wow.
There's two phases here. So it's one step more complex, but I think we can handle it. There is a entry phase. So by the time this episode goes out, this will be live. Bankless Citizens can propose a podcast episode. You can either propose a topic and Ryan and I will talk about it. You can propose a guest and Ryan and I will invite them. And then that goes for 1 week. So submissions are going for 1 week. And then after that, there is a 1 week voting period, which also citizens vote on. So if citizens get to submit an idea, citizens also get to vote on other citizens' idea. By the end of the 1 week voting period, which will be in 2 weeks from now, we will go do that podcast episode.
No matter what.
No matter what. This is a bankless governance vote.
Commitment to do the guest or do the topic.
Don't mess with us, please.
Well, these are Bankless
Citizens,
right?
I do not want to do an episode with Martin Scully.
I was just thinking that.
If they vote for it, then I guess that's the rules.
I guess Martin's coming on if he wants to.
The guest also has to want to. We can't compel them.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But we'll do our best, no matter who it is.
Yeah, we will do our best. We'll
this
do
could
our
get interesting. This is great power, great responsibility for the Bankless community here.
Yes.
All right. Well, we'll see how that goes, David. And I look forward to receiving my NFT, my friend.
I gotta say,
it feels weird to compete against you because we're so collaborative on this. Yeah. And I just like feel kind of...
I need to think of another competition.
Yes, you got to win it back.
I need to win it back.
Well, let's end with some Martin content, shall we, David? This is the meme of the week, the ballad of Donald J. Trump. What are we looking at here?
We were looking at the Scooby-Doo format. Who is that character? I don't know who that character is.
The main
frat boy looking Scooby-Doo guy with
the
handkerchief necktie. He has got the victim, he's got the perpetrator, and he's pulling off the Donald Trump mask, and it's very pale, ghosty looking
Martin Scully.
There he is. Internet's most hated man.
Hopefully this is the last week we'll have to talk about DGT coin, but who knows? That's our choice, I guess. All right.
That one's our choice.
Gotta end with this, of course. You know, crypto is risky. You could lose what you put in, but we are headed west. This is the frontier. It is not for everyone, but we're glad you're with us on the Bankless journey. Thanks a lot.